السلام علیکم ورحمۃ اللہ وبرکاتہ. نحمدہ ونصلی علی رسولہ الکریم، اما بعد، بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم. وی ناؤ کم ٹو دا اسپیکٹ آف ولیمہ، رائٹ؟ اے ولیمہ از سم تھنگ دیٹ از سنہ، رائٹ؟ سنہ آف نبی کریم صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم. سم وڈ سے مستحب، right? But it is a sunnah practice of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now, whenever we want to emulate a sunnah, we want to follow a sunnah, then obviously it has to be done in accordance with the sunnah. We cannot say that we are emulating a sunnah, we're doing something because it is sunnah, and then we bring so much of haram into that action, then it's no more a sunnah, right? It's not regarded as a sunnah anymore. So we cannot bring in guna and haram into something that is supposed to be a sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. For example, take a simple example. A person says swimming is sunnah, right? Says swimming is sunnah. So now he goes to the beachfront, December month, Sunday. Everything is happening there, there's music there, people are drinking, there's all poor women there, bichara got no clothes at home, they're all running around there, all guna taking place there, and Hazrat is swimming there in the beach. So now you ask him, what you doing? He says, no, swimming is sunnat. I'm swimming is sunnat. So many, you're exposing yourself to so much of haram, and you say you're fulfilling a sunnat. Doesn't work that way. So walima is something that is sunnah. So the walima must be void of anything that goes against Shariat. Number one, right? So the first thing is, who must host a walima? Who hosts a walima? Right? Why is a walima hosted? Right? The walima, basically, the groom, the husband, right? Out of shukr to Allah Ta'ala, that Allah Ta'ala has blessed him with a wife. Right? Because if Allah Ta'ala doesn't bless a person with a wife, how is he going to fulfill this natural need that he has within him? If he doesn't fulfill this need within him, there is all the possibility and probability that he is going to live a very frustrated life, and he can get himself involved in haram. Right? It becomes very difficult for him to control his gaze, control his mind, control his heart, concentrate in his salah. Right? Because this need is not being fulfilled. It's like a person who's hungry. He needs to eat. Right? When he's hungry, he can't concentrate on anything else until he eats. After he eats, now he's in a state of sukoon again. Now he can concentrate on other things. Right? So a person has got a hajat, he's got a desire. Allah Ta'ala has kept this avenue of marriage for him to fulfill that desire. If this avenue was not there, what type of existence would this person have been leading? Right? So when Allah Ta'ala blesses him with a wife, so out of gratitude, out of shukr to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, he feeds the people. He feeds the people. So the walima is something that has to be hosted by this new husband. It's his duty, his responsibility to host the walima. Not his father's duty also. If his father wants to do it on his behalf, I mean, alhamdulillah, no problem. But it's not the father's duty to do it. It's his duty. He must give the walima. Right? Now we learned who must give the walima. So here I explained this to you before this, that because we have made our function so elaborate and so much of extravagance, etc., that even we feeling the pinch. So now what we want to do is, we say, no, let's have a joint occasion. So after the nikah, we'll have a joint occasion. The girl side will pay half, boy's side will pay half, and we'll call it a reception and a walima. Best of both worlds, one time in one. This is incorrect. Right? That is a kachumbar. It's not a walima. It's a kachumbar. You don't know what's what over there. Right? The Vadima is something that must be hosted solely by the husband, this new husband. Yes, as I said to you, if his parents or his grandparents or whoever wish to give him the funds to do it, that's between them. But it's something that he is hosting. Right? So we learnt who must host it. We learnt the status of Vadima and who must host the Vadima. Right. Now, when must this Vadima be hosted? When must it be hosted? Right? A person makes nikah. After nikah, you have something that is called rukhsati. Right? Meaning that now he takes delivery. Right? Takes delivery of his wife. Right? So after taking delivery of his wife, now taking delivery doesn't mean he took his wife to his house. What it means is his wife has handed herself over to him. Nikah is made, he goes now to her house to pick up, as what happens in today's time, or her father takes her to his house, or whatever the situation is, but she is now handed over to him. He has met her in privacy. He has met her in privacy. Now, in this meeting, whether the marriage was consummated or not, right, there's no problem. As long as the both of them have met in privacy. After this meeting in privacy between the bride and the groom, the walima must take place within 3 days. After this meeting, the walima must take place within 3 days. This is the best. Right? This is the best. That within 3 days, now sometimes what people do, they say, alright, we're having the wedding on Saturday night. Sunday they jetting off for honeymoon. They're coming back next week before Juma. Then next week Sunday we'll have the walima. Right? Now this is not the right way to do things. That won't really be a proper sunnat walima. That will be more like a meal. You're just getting the family together and you're feeding them. Right? Won't be like a proper walima. Right? The proper walima is, once the rukhsati takes place, then within 3 days after the rukhsati, the walima must take place. Right? Generally what happens, nikah will take place, husband and wife spend the night together, and the next day walima takes place. Right? But if it doesn't happen the next day, say for example the nikah was on Friday, Juma, right? Now you want to have the walima on Sunday, no problem. Long as it is within 3 days. Right? So you have the walima within 3 days. Right? So that's your time duration. So as I said to you, even if the marriage is not consummated, there's no problem. Long as the couple have stayed together. Right? You know, there's no hurry in consummating a marriage. We will come to all of this later in more detail. Right? But there's no rush in consummating a marriage. You've got your whole life ahead of you. Right? So there's no rush to go and consummate a marriage. So whether the marriage was consummated or not, no problem. Walima can still take place. Long as the girl has now handed herself over to her husband, the husband has spent time with her. So out of khushi, out of happiness, out of gratitude, he feeds the people. Right? Now, what must we feed the people? Right? Does biryani have to be on the menu? Is it like part of Shariat that you have to have a sweet dish and there must be some sinni and you have to have like, you know, 4 or 5 cores and cold drinks and juices and what in all, mitais and whole lot of stuff. Right? Now, all these requirements of Shariat. Right? Look, there are different types of walimas that have taken place in the life of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. One type of walima is where you prepare a meal, a proper meal, and you feed the people. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam told Hazrat Abdurrahman bin Auf radiyallahu ta'ala an ghaliban, awlim walaw bishat, that have a walima even if it is with one goat, right? So this was now preparing a meal and feeding the people, right? So that's one type of walima where you prepare a meal and you feed the people. The second type of walima is where you give the people milk to drink, right? You make some milk, whether you want to make milkshake or you're just going to get a plain milk or whatever, but you give them milk. If you want to make kheer, their thing is a funeral. Today's times, funeral and kheer go together. Where this funeral kheer story came from? Some people think it's a sunnat. You have to serve kheer in a funeral. You see, in India, Indians, I don't know how they found all these recipes. They really found some recipes, man. Honestly, I keep thinking about this thing, man. When I observe the ladies, how they make mithai, it boggles my mind. You know, you take Arab recipes, straightforward stuff, right? They got recipe mandi, right? Take rice, take one piece of meat, boil it, put a couple of spices, put it all the rice, eat it, finish. We got biryani. Who thought now you must take the meat, put sour milk on the meat? You think about it, right? Would you in your wildest dreams think now you must take sour milk and put it on meat? And you must find one grass from Spain called zafaran and put it inside. Ajeeb, man. You look at how they make what's this thing called? The round balls? No. Laddu. You know what a process it is? You think, how they figured this thing out? Who had the mind to sit and think now, must do this and do that and do that? Just to follow the recipe is like a mission. Who thought about this thing first? And that old lady is here. Buddhi ni baal ni. Sutar finni. It's like ajeeb. We Indians, I tell you, man, we got some things. How we thought of these things, only Allah Pak knows. Khair. So, the second thing, now this kheer story where it came from, is that you see when there's a janaza in a family, mayat in a family or something. Now generally you see the family people, the wife, the children, if the husband was a good person, otherwise they'll be rejoicing if he was a bad person. If he was a good person, now they are sad, right? They don't feel like eating anything. So what the old people will say, alright, you don't want to eat, no problem. Have this little bit kheer. Now instead of just giving them milk, so they added one, two things in some sugar and couple of things. So they get some taqat. Like. They don't feel like eating. They have that one cup milk. At least they feel a little bit okay. Right? Now, this thing, the way it carried on and carried on and carried on. Now people actually think, no, whenever there's a mayat, you have to have kheer. And other people who got, they all drinking the kheer. After eating kalya too, they're still having the kheer. So all these practices, Allah Pak knows. So khair. So this is the second type of walima, is where you can give milk, right? Some milkshake. You want to make kheer and give the people whatever. You give some milk. Maybe you want to make some talbina. You know talbina. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to have talbina. You take some barley, crushed barley, and you boil it in milk. That's basically the two main ingredients. And then you can add on, put some khajurs inside, put some honey to sweeten it, you know, put some cinnamon sticks. You know, from India, we must bring our couple of things, ilachis, you know, put inside. Right? But that's just to give it some taste. But the main two ingredients. I'll phone him back just now. Right? The main two ingredients is the milk and the barley. Right? So you want to give talbina? You can give talbina also. So whatever, some milk, right? Basically, right? And the third type of wanima that Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had was where he didn't prepare anything. He told the people, he says, look, whatever you got, right? Bring it, put it on the dastarkhan, we'll all eat. There's a third type of wanima. Right? So these are your three vanimas. So you can choose which one you want. If you feel now I want to prepare a meal and feed the people, by all means, go ahead. The thing is, you need to give the vanima. Right? Now you are you're starting out in life. You don't have millions of rands. So why do you want to make somebody else give your vanima? With how much money you got, do what you can manage to do. Right? If you can manage to buy 20 liters milk and make some milkshake and give all the musallis after namaz milkshake, whoever came, and that's your vanima. But you hosted your vanima, bhai. Why you want somebody else to host your vanima? Now when we want to become elaborate and we want to hire a hall and buy hire clothes for the chairs and centerpiece for the table and what you call flowers and what and what, and you have to get one cook to come and cook one 5-course meal and everything, then we have to sit like a beggar with a cap in hand by our fathers and mothers and grannies and uncles, and everybody has to club in now to pay for this thing. Why? Deen has made it so simple. Shariat has made it simple. You host your vanima. So, and if you don't have the money to buy the milk also, tell your friends, hey, whatever you got, bring it and come. Somebody brings some khajurs from Madina Munawara. Somebody brings some zamzam from Makkah Mukarrama. Sit down, have the thing finished. Vanima is over. Khalas. So that is vanima in Islam. There is no preconditions that you have to invite the whole family. You have to make invitation cards. You have to get a hall and all these things. Once we do this, then remember, a lot of other evils will creep in. Many other evils will creep in. Photography will come in. Mixing of the sexes will come in. Israf will come in. Now everybody needs to sew an outfit and come for the occasion. Right? So a lot of filth will take place when you try to go elaborate. When you keep it simple, it's simple, it's over, it's done. Right? It's according to Sunnah. Once you try to go big, you're going to invite problems. Right? Because now how many people you're going to invite? Even if you try to think of everybody, now you forgot that one uncle from somewhere. Now he's upset with you. But if you never invite nobody, you said, look here, now I spent the night with my wife last night. Tomorrow, I'll buy 10 liters milk. Right? I'll buy one tub ice cream. Put all thing in one pot, put an ice cream inside, some sugar, some colorant, so I'm making milkshake. After Zohar namaz, whoever is there for namaz, I'm going to give them milk to drink. That's my vanima. You don't invite anybody. Can anybody be upset with you? Nobody is upset with you. Story is over. But once we try to do things the Western way, the kuffar way. See, getting this big hall and making this 5-course meal and sewing outfits for the occasion and all these things. This is a kuffar concept. This is not our concept. This is a kuffar concept. Right? So plain and simple, this is the vanima. Everything else that happens in today's times, that you have to get a special car for the groom and the bride and put ribbons on the car and right there, just married and all this is futile activity. It is emulation of the kuffar. Right? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't tell us to do any of this. Now, look, vanima is a sunnah. And you are showing your gratitude to Allah Ta'ala. Right? This is the first days of your marriage. Probably the first day. Or it's happening within the first 3 days of your marriage. Right? We need Allah Ta'ala's nusrat, Allah Ta'ala's rahmat. Right? Allah Pak's assistance in this marriage. And now in that very first days of the marriage, we go and break every one of Allah's command. Right? Look, let's understand this thing with a little example, right? we got one brother here who has done us a favor. Right? He's done us a favor. So we say to him that, look, you've done us a favor. Tonight, we want to thank you. Right? Tonight, we as a class, we wish to thank you because you did us a good turn. You did us a favor. So we wish to also repay the favor. We want to thank you in some way. So when he comes in the evening, and he is very happy now that he is going to be showed some gratitude by his classmates. So when he comes in the evening, he enters the door. One fellow slaps him. Takes few more steps, somebody trips him. Takes few more steps, somebody breaks a couple of eggs on his head. And we're all happy and we're laughing. Say, hey, so much of fun. This fellow got slapped, he got kicked, eggs on his head. Hey, we're enjoying ourselves. How are we showing gratitude to this person? Is that a way to show gratitude? Will that person be happy? Will he be pleased? Now imagine, we are saying to Allah, right? Ya Allah, you blessed me with a wife. I want to show you how grateful I am to you. So tomorrow I'm hosting a walima. Right? I want to show you how grateful I am to you. I'm hosting a walima. So what we do tomorrow? We break every one of Allah's commands. And we're all happy and we're sitting in the hall and we're very happy we're breaking all Allah's commands. It's exactly the same thing, isn't it? Same thing. Now if Allah Ta'ala gets angry and Allah Ta'ala wants to teach us a lesson, then can we imagine what may happen? Now there's a child that is born that's deformed, or the wife is not listening, or there's this health problem, that health problem. I don't say every case is because of that. Sometimes Allah Pak is testing a person, Allah Ta'ala is elevating their darajat, etc. Right? Or this person, he became big businessman, everything, so he said, I can do all. After he gets married, nice, his business is going down, becoming a pauper, he's in debts. That can be a hiding from Allah Pak. So Allah Pak is saying, I gave you so much, you're supposed to be showing me gratitude. Is this how you show gratitude? By breaking all my commands. Let me teach you a lesson a little bit. So it's very, very important that we watch what we do in our lives. So when Allah Ta'ala blesses you with a life partner, then show gratitude to Allah Ta'ala as gratitude ought to be shown. Not according to what the West wants us to do, what the Kuffar want us to do. Do it in the manner that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam taught us to do it, because that is what Allah Pak wants to see. So even if you want to feed the people a good meal, invite that amount of people that your house has the capacity to host. If your house can host 20 people, invite 20 people. There is no stipulation in Sharia that a walima has to be 200 people, 100 people, 150 people. There's no stipulation like that. Right? So if you're living in a little flat and you can only host 10 people, 20 people, do that. And if you feel at no man, you know, I want to feed my uncles, my aunties, my cousins, I wish to feed them, I want to feed, no problem, man. No problem. Call 20 of them for breakfast, let them go. Call another 20 for tea time, 10 o'clock, give them tea and let them go. Call another 20 for lunch, give them lunch and let them go. Call another 20 for 3 o'clock tea, give them tea and let them go. Call another 20 for supper, let them eat and then let them go. Call another 20 for tea in the night, let them eat and let them go. You fed 120 people for the day in your little flat. Finish. This is how Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did it. He had a small house, 3 square meters. the size of the houses of the Ummahatul Mu'mineen radiyallahu ta'ala anhunna ajmain were 3 square meters and with a little veranda like. Because they used to do the cooking and everything outside in the veranda, fire. So the house itself was like a 3 square meter thing and a little veranda outside where they used to have their fire for their cooking and washing and whatever. Right? And the whole thing was enclosed with the wall. Right? So in that home, now Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had the walima for Hazrat Zainab radiallahu ta'ala. He fed so many people. But called few at a time. They ate, they went, ate. So many times Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam fed the Ashabus Sufa. Sometimes 60, 70, 80 of them, up to 80 of them. Said, right, 10 of you all come, eat, go, eat, go. In the time of the battle of the trench, Khandak, when the Sahabi invited Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they started one little kid goat, his wife, she made a little bit of bread, told Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, come with few Sahaba, come eat something. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam announced, made an announcement to the whole army. He said, hey, our friend has called us for a meal, come, let's go. The whole army went to Ibad house. Could the whole army fit in the house? Sahaba's house is so small. Nabi sallam called few at a time. So come, eat, go. Come, eat, go. Come, eat, go. And in many places in the world, they still do it like that. It's just we South Africans. We gone Western crazy. No, we have to have a hall. We're going to feed all the people. No, we have to have a big hall. Call all the people. So this is incorrect. Right? The other thing is, this new trend, and I keep telling my colleagues this, alhamdulillah, some of them are listening. Allah Pak knows whether I'm right or wrong, but I think I'm right. I hope I'm right. This new trend now that no, in the hall, the Mauli Sahab must give one talk, and the Qari Sahab must read one Kirat, and the Hafiz Sahab must sing one Naat, and then we'll start feeding and all of this. Don't do this, man. Don't do this. You see, the woman come there, they dress like they haven't got clothes. Some of them tight fitting clothing, no scarves on the head, necks are open, and you're reading Quran Sharif here. You're giving a bayan, talking about Allah Ta'ala, and it's a mockery. It's a mockery. You sing a naat there in praise of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and on the other side is all tamasha carrying on. It's a making a mockery of Allah's deen. Don't do all those things. Don't have a hall. Cuts out all this nonsense in between. So this is the walima. Simple meal, just to show Allah Pak that I am grateful you have given me a wife. That's all. And Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in one hadith sharif, he condemned that walima where only rich people are invited. Who's who in the zoo? They are invited. In your walima, you must invite some poor people. That's why if you just after one namaz give everybody milk, you sort it out. Because in the masjid, all types of people are there. You give everybody the milk, walima is done, finish, halas, story is over. You know, in Gujarati they say, naak katai jai. So nose will get cut. What the people will say, what the people will say. This is what we learn. The first thing, first step of the soaf, when does that realization come, is when we realize that the opinions of the people is not important. What I am doing to please Allah is what is important. So this is the walima. There may be many, many more things to be discussed with regards to it, but very, very briefly, this is what the walima is all about. Right? We are now, after this, we're going to move on now to life. Right? If there are certain more aspects regarding Varima, maybe we'll mention it, right? And if not, then we will just move on to life itself now. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Not just life, now life with the wife. See, before the wedding you only had life. After the wedding I say life with the wife. You have to discuss that now. Right? Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.